Morning, everyone. Before we get started, I ask that you silence your mobile devices. Today is October 4th, 2022. It is 10 a.m. There's a quorum present. We're going to call this meeting to order. You can all join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, moving on to item number three, this is discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval of the agenda for October 4, 2022. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions regarding today's agenda?
No questions, thank you.
All right, Vice Chairman Mitchell?
I don't either.
All right, is there any public comment regarding today's agenda? As a reminder, folks on Zoom, you can use the raise your hand feature. For those calling in, you can use star six to unmute yourself. One more call. Is there any public comment on today's agenda? Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, this is Commissioner Mitchell. I move to approve today's agenda as presented.
Second.
There is a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Moving right along to item number four. This is for discussion and possible action, consideration and possible approval of the minutes for September 6, 2022. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about the minutes for September 6?
Thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman?
No, me neither. Thank you.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding the minutes for September 6? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve the minutes from our September 6th, 2022 meeting as presented.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Moving right along to item number five, this is discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval of the minutes for the September 7th special meeting on 2022. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions about the minutes?
No questions.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
I have just one spelling correction. Is during board comment, I believe you, Chairman, mentioned David and Carolyn Dates, and I believe it came through as Gates.
All right. Noted. Thank you for that. Is there any public comment regarding the minutes for September 7th? Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Mitchell, you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve the minutes from our September 7th, 2022 meeting with the one noted correction.
Second.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to item number six is today's consent agenda. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions about today's consent agenda?
No questions.
Vice Chairman Mitchell, you have any questions or comments about the consent agenda?
I do not, thank you.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding the consent agenda? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve today's consent agenda as presented.
Second.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to item number seven is public comment. Public comment will be allowed at the beginning and end of each meeting. This comment should be limited to matters not on today's calendar agenda. Public comment will be allowed after each item on the agenda. These comments should be limited to the agendized topic. With that said, is there any public comment today? One more call. Is there any public comment today? All right. Not seeing any public comment. We're going to move on to item number eight. This is discussion only. No action, no public comment will be taken. These are committee and staff reports. We're going to start off with the sheriff's office.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Nothing to report at this time.
All right. Thank you, Chief Deputy. We're going to move on to our next department, the Story County Fire Protection District.
Nothing to report.
All right, thank you. Moving right along to Story County Public Works.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mike Northen, Operations and Projects Coordinator in for Director Wiersbicki. He just wanted me to report that work is continuing on Six Mile Canyon, shouldering work that's going on down there. And also the roads and buildings and grounds crews are currently winterizing, configuring the plow trucks, getting buildings winterized, getting ready for winter. And that's all I have on that side, sir.
Thank you, Mike. Commissioner Gumman, you have any questions for Mike?
No, thank you, Mike.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
Thank you.
All right, thanks, Mike. Conveniently, we're moving on to Projects Coordinator Mike Northen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A few items to update you on. I'm still working on the Sheriff's Office substation in Lockwood. We're attempting to replace that building there. That's a modular structure. We're going to replace it with a modular structure probably. That industry is just glutted right now with people looking at modular housing, so having a bit of difficulty there. Virginia City Highlands Virginia City Highlands Fire Station, contracts for that project are being signed right now. Getting a permit lined up for that, so we'll hopefully start construction soon. I should have an updated schedule to present within the next week or so. Still working on trying to get the traffic signals USA Parkway maintained, the particularly the one at USA and 80. I've been working with Director Stacy York on some small projects around the VC Senior Center. Those are moving along slowly. And the last item is I'm currently doing a project management professional certification. It's a UNR extension class. It'll grant a professional certification in project management, of course. And I just wanted to thank Story County for their interest and support in supporting professional development programs like that. And that's all I have, sir.
Thank you, Mike. Commissioner Gilman, you have any questions for Mike?
I do not. Thanks, Mike.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Mike. I can ask if you can email me regarding the construction date on the Highlands Firehouse because I have some shuffling to do.
Yeah, I have it. Sure.
All right. Thank you. All right. Moving right along is Story County Communications.
Becky Parsons.
Thank you, Becky. Business Development Director / Emergency Management. / Laura's not here, so Honey will take over.
Good morning, Honey Menefee for the record. Last week, you know, pretty much all of us attended the NACO conference, and I wanted to bring up that the Porter Group, which is our federal lobbyist group, two of their members came and attended the NACO conference with us. But what I wanted to point out was they had a great time here in Virginia City. They got to meet a lot of our staff, and they were very appreciative of the time that our staff took to speak with them, get to know them. And then even after the event, they spent a lot of time in our town and had a great time. So I think it was really a plus that Story County really opened the welcome wagon and greeted them as valuable members of our team to help things happen here in Story County. And then following the NACO conference, Laura and I, along with Commissioner Mitchell, we attended the Governor's Infrastructure Conference down in Las Vegas. That was also a valuable time as we got to see, I've been working with, along with Commissioner Carmona with the Broadband Action Team to all the federal funding that will be becoming available for broadband in the different communities in Nevada. And they had a workshop that I was able to attend and speak again with Brian Mitchell, who is from the Governor's Office of Science and Innovative Technology. They've been working with us in trying to formulate a plan, not only for Story County, but all of Nevada, to make sure that every resident has access to broadband. And then another one of the areas that I have been working with is NDEP, the Nevada Division of Environmental Protection. And these, we have several water projects that are on the, you know, in the capital improvement plan that we hope to be able to complete. And I've been working with Jason Cooper and along with our staff at Public Works and trying to get a plan devised for funding that will be coming available for different water projects through that is going to be from federal funding as well. So it was good to represent Story County in those two capacities. And then also Laura and I She attended different workshops than I did. She was able to speak with her representatives that she has been working closely with regarding funding for different projects in the county as well. And then we also met with Senator Rosen again, which is, she mentioned, Senator Rosen mentioned all of our projects that are in the earmarks, the three projects that are still going forward for the federal funding for the appropriations request. And so Story County's projects are forefront of her mind, and it is was beneficial that we met with her again and were able to speak with her to keep Story County fresh in her mind as a priority for funding. So that is the end of my report. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you for that, Honey. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Honey?
No, but thank you for all that work and travel. And you all have done a wonderful job. Thank you.
Indeed. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No, thank you.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to echo Commissioner Gilman's sentiments. Thank you, all of you, for going down to Vegas. And I know you had a busy week at NACO, and then polish it off with a trip out of the county. We thank you for being there on our behalf. So thanks again for that report. Does that cover your community relations report?
Yeah, it's all
good. Awesome. Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. We'll move on to the BCTC.
Good morning.
Morning.
Let's see. This last weekend, we had the outhouse races. We had 28 competitors. It was well attended. We're starting to see our the number of competitors go back up to what it used to be. And we are in October, which is Hauntober. If you go to our website, there's an entire page of things to do. This weekend on Saturday, we have the Hunt for the Spirits event that starts at 11, and that's throughout town. This year, the Hauntober Parade, which is October 31st, the parade starts at 5, but we're starting with a costume contest at 4 p.m., and we're going to include adults and pets. And yes, prizes will be given out for the winners. In terms of conferences, of course, we had NACO last week. Next week, we have the Nevada Museum Association conference here. That's 50 to 60 participants, so much smaller. And other things we're working on this month is firming up the events for 2023 so we can start getting calendars put together for that. And that's my report.
Wonderful, Linda. Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Linda?
No questions. Congratulations.
Thank you. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No, thank you.
All right. Thanks again for that report, Linda. Moving on to the Comptroller's Office, Comptroller McCain.
Making this harder and harder to get back here. Good morning, Jennifer McCain, Story County Comptroller. I too have been traveling. A week ago, a week before last, I was in Washington, D.C. with Laura Mather for the Las Vegas fly-in. So yes, it was mainly Southern Nevada, but on recommendation of our Porter group, it was really important that Story County show a presence, show that Northern Nevada is listening. So we thank them for inviting us and showing us as great a time as it sounds like you guys showed them here. We heard speeches from all of our congressmen and representatives. We were able to talk one-on-one with Mark Amaday, who loves Story County, that's no secret, loves Northern Nevada. He is watching our appropriation grants that we're looking for. We talked to Dina Titus at a cocktail party, Nevada Lights the Capitol Blue. So we got a shout out from her in her speech. She let the entire group of Southern Nevada people know that Story County was there. And we were looking for our fair share of federal money that we had coming to us. We got a lot of stares, some congratulations. With that, we also talked a lot with our representatives and congresspeople's staffers, which I never realized how important that was, much more important than kind of getting their ear. You have a lot more one-on-one personal, normal conversations with them. So that was really enlightening to me, made some good contacts there that Laura already had one leg up on me. She knew a lot of those people. Their speeches to us surrounded not just Southern Nevada issues, but in Nevada as a whole. We talked about lack of employees, around the state, around the country. We talked about the aftermath of COVID, how everyone was recouping and bouncing back or not bouncing back. Clean energy, we talked about water shortages. That was mainly a Southern Nevada conversation, but as we know, it's kind of an entire Nevada conversation. They also talked about the appropriation grants and how hard they're working to get Nevada the money that we deserve. On the water shortage, a couple of my takeaways from that, they also had a panel discussion. A gentleman from the Desert Institute gave a long talk about how we need to stop talking about it as a drought. 22 years is not a drought. It's now a way of life. Drought insinuates that it's a short time issue. They talked a lot about the Southern Nevada water issue and how their lakes are going dry and their water is depleting. A couple things I think as Northern Nevadans, we need to watch is very quietly. They did talk about how they could get legislation to buy water rights in Northern Nevada to help them. So I think that's something that we need to watch. One other issue that they had a panel on that was interesting to us, although it wasn't centered around us, was they had a panel discussion on roads, infrastructure, highway, a long talk on their Highway 15 issues and how could they do the necessary repairs that needed to get done, that being a major artery for them. I found a major takeaway for that is you need to break it up into little pieces. You don't have to do the whole giant project in one full swing. It makes it more palatable to your residents, to the people who use your highways. So I thought that that was really important. It's something that with some big projects coming our way in Story County, break it up into smaller chunks is probably a lot easier. Let's see. There was a great presentation and panel for grants in general. This gentleman, and unfortunately I can't remember his name, and his card is packed somewhere, it's still in my suitcase. He has a nonprofit organization that he started just before COVID to help small governments get grants. He's associated with the Porter Group. His whole take on grants and federal appropriations is it's getting more competitive. And to be in the running for these grants, especially small counties need to change their focus and not just give grant writing to an employee who already has a full plate. He actually called them grant hustlers. That's something that when you're looking for someone to do that job, to keep that in mind, because that's basically what they have to do. I found it very interesting that he talked specifically about Clark County, of course, and North Las Vegas. Both of those entities have grant departments of 10 to 17 people. And over the past year, North Las Vegas has received $100 million in grants. Clark County has received $230 million in grants. And those 10 to 17 people, that's all they do is search for grants, apply for them, but they also follow the grant process past that. They work, if it's a public works grant, they work specifically with that person in public works so that public works doesn't have to do the managing, the reporting, and all the finalization. As we have seen, that could be where the grant starts to fall apart, is the manager of the project doesn't have any idea what needs to get done to keep the grant people happy. So making sure that we have a team that keeps all that together is really important. Laura and I talked a lot that as our county grows, we need to make a conscious decision on how we want to move forward on applying for grants. Last year alone, Laura and Honey had to stop applying for grants on the basis of what if we get them all? We don't have the resources to complete all these projects in the time that's allotted. So you apply for so many grants and you cross your fingers that you're going to get them. Where we are right now is we originally applied for over $8 million of these large project grants. We're down to $6 million, which is a nice chunk of change, but they're still not 100% ours. And if we do get $6 million in grants, That means we have three very large projects that have to be completed in an allotted amount of time with our very small resources of employees that we have in a climate where building is difficult at best. So not having enough grant people that could follow this through and help Public Works or help the fire department or whichever entity is receiving the grant, it puts that extra weight on them to be able to yet add another thing to their plate. So I think it's important for us, especially moving into the next fiscal year, that we really have a plan on what we want to do, where we want to focus on. So I think that's definitely something we need to open that conversation up. A couple of things that the presenter said that I just, I think is the grant hustler is one. The other thing that's stuck in our heads is grants are a team sport. And if we're not as a entity treating any kind of a grant from the application to the finalization as a team sport, we're not doing it right. And we can pretty much say goodbye to any future money. It's really going to depend on the reputation we build and how we get our projects done, and that we make a name that we can swiftly do these projects and they don't have to hound us for reports. And everything is streamlined. If you start losing that reputation, your grant's going to go to the bottom of the pile, your application. So in reference to what Clark County and North Las Vegas received, the $230 million and the $100 million, Story County received $1.9 million. Yes, we are smaller, but we still have some major needs of everyone else. And something that I think is really important that Laura and I talked about is, we have Clark County received $230 million. North Las Vegas is an entity of that. They received $100 million. I have no idea what Las Vegas or Henderson or Boulder or all these other entities receive. So Southern Nevada receives considerably more money than Northern Nevada in general. So making our presence known in DC is really important. Laura and Honey went to the Northern Nevada fly-in earlier in the year. It was the first year they've done it. There was approximately 50 people there. At this one for Southern Nevada, there was almost 300 people there, represented by government entities, businesses, tourism, all across the board. So we really need to make our presence shown, I feel. One other panel, I want to give a shout out to Chris Thompson. He was part of the public managing public lands panel. He represented Story County very well, talked about how creating this private public partnership created the business park that we have. And we couldn't have, neither entity could have done it alone. He gave a very good talk as we looked around at all the Southern Nevada people. There was a lot of Story County. Aren't they tiny? Story County did that. I mean, it was very interesting to hear these people not really know what we have up here, not realizing the abundance of land that we have available up here. I kind of think it opened their eyes a little bit. It was really a great talk that he gave. So I just wanted to give a shout out there. The following week in what I called my world tour, I was at CFOA last week. I missed NACO. That's our Fiscal Officers Association for the state of Nevada. We had several speakers. Recorders Division gave a great talk about recording property and how that's moving online and how that's going to become more important with all these hackers and scam that everyone talks about checking their credit score and making sure that's all good. People never think about checking the title on their home or their property. And that's where they're seeing the next surge. Somebody could slip in something on your title search and you never know about it. You go to sell your house or you go to sell your parents' house. And all of a sudden you don't realize you don't own it because you didn't catch this hacker. We also had several speakers on lack of employees, how to hire people, what to look for. One of the higher-ups in the Nevada State Bank talked about how he had to change his entire view on how he hires people. Really looking for those traits that you can't teach someone has gotten more important than anything else. You can't teach someone work ethic. You can't teach someone empathy. You can't teach someone to have compassion for the citizens that's standing in front of them. So that was really a very interesting take on that conversation. We also had breakout sessions. It's always nice to speak with other comptrollers, other payroll entities, realize my problems are their problems, and kind of just have a nice round table on how to help solve everybody, each other's problems. So that was a couple hours of that was really beneficial for us. And that's all I have. Unless you want to hear about my class reunion, I can go on about that too.
If you feel like it. Thank you for that wonderful report, Jennifer. Commissioner Gilman, there's a lot to cover. Do you have any questions?
I would like to get a voice here to talk. Apologies. my thoughts as I listen, it's a wonderful report, and we're finding out how very important it is as a small county to be recognized, yes, to be visible. I think it's absolutely wonderful that you all had the time to go back, and I think that every time you visit, you're going to find more nuggets that are available out there. And the grant monies are available and critical, and so I'm so encouraged and complimentary of the job you all did. Thank you for that nice report.
Thank you. And I just want to one comment on what you said. I think none of us have the extra time to go. We just are seeing how important it is. We can't live in our bubble anymore. So
I think that's always been a challenge here. We're a small county and mighty county, mm-hmm, in the things that we have been able to create and support. And I think everyone here in this county, all staff, handle a lot of stress and a lot of projects. And I don't think any of you have a great deal of time, but I'm so happy that we've now made this commitment, and that you were back there and with eyes and ears and the people you met. It's incredibly valuable to be with our Washington leadership.
Yes.
And they make a tremendous difference. And I'm well aware that we're very visible there, mm-hmm, now.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
I have no questions. I'm just really appreciative of the work that you're doing and making sure that we gather that information, but also have that presence. Thank you.
Yep. I'm going to concur with my fellow commissioners. Thank you very much. Very thorough report, and appreciate the time and effort. So
thank you.
Keep it up. All right, we will move along to, I think I'm going to skip the assessor's office. I don't think I see an assessor with us today. I'll move on to the recorder's office.
Good morning. Just a reminder, on the heels of Jennifer's update, the recorder's office does have a service. It's called Fraud Guard, and it provides an email alert anytime that a document records in your name. So those that are looking for more information on their title over time, we do offer that service. You can go to storycounty.org/recorder and sign up for alerts there. Thank you.
Thank you, Drew. Moving right along to the IT department. IT Director James Dean is with us, I believe.
Good morning, commissioners. James Dean, Story County IT Director. Two quick items. We are going to be going live with the website here within the next 30 days. We have a final kickoff meeting with administration this week, and we're able to make edits and changes. So obviously the website's always a work in progress, but we're going to go live with the new look and feel and our new hosting service within the next 30 days. And also we are lighting up our switch contract and our backup facility in switch at the industrial park. We have our kickoff meeting for that on the 15th and should be operational with switch by the end of the month. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Wonderful, James. Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, you have anything for James?
No questions. Thank you.
Vice Chairman?
Thank you.
All right. Moving right along to human resources, Jeannie Green.
I have nothing to report. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeannie. Community development. Austin, you're taking over for Pete.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and cover him up.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, Commissioners, Austin Osborne, in lieu of Pete Renault, Community Development Director, he's out in the field today. He wanted me to just go over his dashboard with you that his folks put together I'm trying to read it here, a little bit dark. Just for the number of permits he's got going on right now, he's got roughly 48 housing units going on at the moment, mostly in the Highlands of Virginia City. It's a lot for us, and that's pretty much a consistent number at this point. Construction documents reviewed monthly, 21. Construction documents reviewed year to date, 128. Permits issued weekly or monthly, actually 38. Permits issued year to date from April 2022, 309. Permits closed monthly, 25. Permits closed year to date, 93. For business licensing, there is business licenses issued a month, about 16. Business licenses issued year to date, 110. For nuisances, active nuisances total, 38 going on right now. Settled nuisances or abated nuisances this month, 2. And nuisance code violation codes at the DA's office that are in process for with court, 10. So they've moved to that level. New nuisances per month, building violations, 2. Inspections, general. New business license inspections completed. There's 2 of them. Building inspections completed monthly, 118. Plot walk completed, meaning walk in the ground, monthly, 9 of those. Inspections completed year to date, 672.
Thank you, Austin. You're welcome. Commissioner Gilman, do you have anything for Austin?
I do not.
Running the community development. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No, thank you.
All right, thanks again,
and
Austin.
I will add on some of those nuisances there. Pete's explained to me sometimes when they go to that level, that means they're going through the court process to see a judge because they need to get to the next level in abatement. And a lot of times then that'll get remanded back to the person to go to the next step. So that's what that means, step means. Thank you.
Thank you. Moving on to the Senior Center, Stacey York.
Good morning. No new updates today.
Thanks, Stacey. Moving on to the DA's office.
Keith Loomis, I just want to bring up one thing you may or may not be aware of. I'm sure Commissioner Gilman is, but the Sierra Nevada has filed a suit for eminent domain across a piece of land owned by Mass Acquisitions, which is a sub-entity of Blockchains, apparently. We are named in that. The county is named in that suit. They haven't identified a specific property interest that might be affected by the suit, but it does look like we have at least an ag deferment lien out there. So we'll be addressing that.
Thank you, Keith. County Manager's Office, County Manager Osborne.
And Jay, I'd like to say a few words, DA Langer, after Austin.
Oh, no problem.
If you'd like, I can wait. She can go ahead and speak.
Sure. DA Langer, please go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to dovetail on what Mr. Osborne said about the pre-prosecution program. As you know, nuisances have been an issue in Story County for quite some time. And in actually 2018, we started a pre-prosecution program where there were we had the opportunity once the ordinances were changed to either treat a nuisance as a civil matter or a criminal matter. What we found, treating it as a civil matter and finding people just didn't have enough teeth in it to get people to clean up their properties. With the community development group that we've had in there now, there's been a huge focus on really helping people to figure out how to get their properties cleaned up. So once they get into the pre-prosecution program, it means that the community development has tried numerous methods to help people to clean it up. And then what happens is a criminal complaint is filed by our office. And at that point, people have an opportunity to get into what is known as a pre-prosecution program, where they work with community development for approximately, the program lasts up to 18 months. And there's progress reports every 3 months where we go into court and take it before the judge. And there's been a lot of people and a lot of compliance with this program. So at this point, years later, because as I think Jennifer brought up a really good point today, and Lance too, that Story County is small, but mighty. but it's these programs, it just takes a long time to get them up and running because it just takes time to figure them out. So I think with the pre-prosecution program, I'm nothing but thrilled in the way that the community development, they handle this program, they help people out. And I think it really is just helping out with some of these nuisances that are being, well, they're being fixed and the people aren't being prosecuted. So it's that's all I have to say on that.
Thank you, District Attorney Langer. Much appreciated on the explanation.
Thank you.
Moving back to the county manager's report. County Manager Osborne.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne, for the record, just tying into Comptroller McCain's discussion on grants, everything she said really does portray what we are about. When you compare us to the rural counties and even some of the much larger counties, Story County is a leader in grant acquisition and has an A grade in complying with grant administration, the fulfilling the projects associated with the grants. This is really all done by one and a half people at best. It's Honey and Laura that work together with people like Mike Northern and Public Works and whoever's respective to a project. There's not a lot of people here doing this work, and it's getting done very well. Honey and Laura have $16 million worth of grant applications out there right now. And a lot of these applications are very complicated. They're very arduous and lengthy. And those are out there pending. And there's between $1 and $2 million, as Ms. McCain explained, and grants that have been received. It is important that we look at the small staff we have and getting all these projects, being able to manage them. It's a lot of work to manage a project, especially today when you can't get materials, you can't get contractors to cooperate. It's hard to even get bids to come in. Yet we manage to fulfill that. So that's all I have on grants. I just want to give you a little update. The fiscal analysis, the regional white paper, as we call it, is near complete. It's passed over to Laura at this point. I played with it earlier this week, and now it's her turn, and then we just kind of pass it back and forth. We will have a draft ready for this board here very shortly. I want to give you an update on that. The next thing, and Mark Twain, this Wednesday, the 5th at 5:30 at the Mark Twain Community Center, we will have a strategic plan workshop. We've put out plenty of notices out on social media and otherwise to try to get people to show up and participate and see what they would like to see happen in the Mark Twain community with regard to how government provides services to them, i.e. the strategic plan. And then Virginia City will see a workshop, and that'll be the close of this element of workshops before it comes back to the board for consideration. And then lastly, within Nevada Association of Counties, I want to give a huge thanks not only to the VCTC folks, but Public Works, and really everybody on our staff who volunteered, even for an hour or two as needed. We couldn't have done it without them. It was a huge success. We ran into tiny little things like a microphone or, you know, something, that kind of stuff. But the overall conference was a huge hit. And the idea of taking your town and turning it into a conference center with private businesses. We don't have classrooms, so we converted places like the Red Dog into a classroom. Was a huge hit, was a great use of resources. The VC Freight Depot was a huge success. People love that building and the fact that it's in total original condition and the fact that it's such a small community, they were able to utilize all of our resources across town to make this conference work. My understanding from VCTC is we're set up between like 60 to 100 people per conference. We had 200 people at this conference and we were able to make it work. It did push us to the max. And my observations through the community are that a conference center or something of that nature is hugely needed. But I just want to thank everybody for that. We could not have done it without the team's effort in this. Thank you.
Thank you, County Manager Osborne. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
No questions. Thank you, Bob.
Vice Chairman Mitchell.
No, I just wanted to echo the thanks to the whole team on NACO. It was and not just the staff as well, but also the businesses in town that supported with food service and some of those other things. They were really hustling to make sure that everyone got taken care of. So really appreciate it.
Indeed. Thank you again, Austin, for your report. Last but never least, the Clerk Treasurer's Office.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. That concludes our staff reports for today. We're going to get back to item number 9, which is board comments. I'm going to start at my far left. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any comments today?
Nothing to comment on. Thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell.
It's been a busy week. I've had a lot going on, a lot of good progress on a lot of different fronts. And I'm looking forward to some of the things that will come from those. Most of them were mentioned during the staff report. So that's all I have.
All right. Thank you very much. I just have a few comments. It's been mentioned several times. I wanted to thank the BCTC staff throughout the county. I know everybody stepped up, volunteered their time, checking people in, helping serve food, and also the businesses that stepped up to serve the 200 plus people that were here. Very much appreciated. On a more somber note, I do want to note that Mike Connors, longtime resident of Story County, has passed away. Leaves behind children, grandchildren, a wife. Also, my immediate neighbor, Greg Stafford, another longtime, probably one of the original Highlands residents, unfortunately passed away. Last but definitely not least, Pam Traber Brumfeld has also passed away in mid-September. And I, again, think it's important to note when folks, especially, you know, whether they're longtime residents or not, do pass away in Story County. So I do want to make sure that they're recognized. And that will conclude my comments. We're going to move on to item number 10, which is to recess to convene as the Story County Highway Board, bringing us to item number 11, which is for discussion and possible action. Presentation by Nevada Department of Transportation, also known as NDOT, regarding the county consultation process, NDOT annual work program within the county, and the One Nevada process. Good morning.
All right. Good morning. For the record, I'm Cole Mortensen, Deputy Director for the Nevada Department of Transportation. And so what we want to do here today is kind of walk you through some of our processes and let you know what we have going on. We have a next slide, please. So again, we'll talk about kind of our engagement process, how we prioritize projects, what we have on our annual work program, and some of our other initiatives. Next slide. So in Story County, we have 25 miles of Nevada and U.S. highways, and approximately 600,000 motor fuel and diesel tax is generated from Story County. Next slide, please. So we'll talk about the engagement process. Next slide. So for our rural engagement process in those areas where we don't have MPOs, municipal planning organizations, we go out and try to meet with counties and cities and get that engagement to understand what their priorities are so that we can try to start working on seeing where that might fit into our future projects. It's a continuous and collaborative process so that it carries over year after year after year. And we've done this for several years. We've changed it up just a little bit in how we do it, and then we kind of took a short hiatus during the pandemic, but we're back at it and back out in front of the counties and cities. So next slide, please. So here's a bit of the process. It starts with the county workshops. We generally have our staff come out and meet with your staff to discuss priorities and review the One Nevada analysis. We do the NDOT analysis. We determine where those needs might fall within our overall work program. And then generally 3 is what we're doing here today, is we come back and let you know where we're at, what it looks like. And then 4 is to continue with those communications and reviewing the needs and the performing the One Nevada analysis and basically monitoring the funding and where we're committing funding to projects. Next slide, please. So again, I kind of mentioned the county workshops. Usually it's done with agency staff, and we'll work on developing those needs, and I'll talk about it in just a second when we talk about the One Nevada process. Next slide. Next slide. So what we've done is we've developed a data-driven approach to how we prioritize our projects. On an annual basis, we estimate that we're probably around $600 million underfunded for what we need to do to preserve our assets and to keep up with the explosive growth that we've seen in the state of Nevada. So we try to look at the projects or the needs as they impact our community in the six different ways here, whether they enhance safety, optimize mobility, preserve infrastructure, transform economies, connect communities, and foster sustainability. And so we look at each project or each need, we evaluate them, they kind of go into the One Nevada process, and based on scoring, project readiness, and then we do a harmonization at the end, because we do try to keep the statewide balance appropriate as far as where taxes are generated and the taxes are spent. Next slide, please. So the workshops allow us to identify those needs. The last one was held in January at Piper's Opera House. The next one will be the spring of 2023. Next slide, please. And so as I mentioned, sometimes projects are easy to identify, but sometimes we're identifying needs. We have to evaluate those needs to try to develop potential concepts for solutions, and then eventually it gets turned into a project. And as we're looking through that, so it's kind of three different types of projects that we're evaluating, if you want to call them projects, but three different types, needs, concepts, and projects that we're evaluating through the One Nevada plan based on those six categories. Next slide, please. All right, so for the activities that we've had here recently, we've removed 135 cubic yards of trash, and we've had about 509 labor hours of maintenance in Story County. And on the screen, we have a number of projects that we've done, including installing wildlife signage on Geiger Grade, guardrail improvements on Geiger Grade, and evaluating the Lockwood interchange needs. Next slide, please. So for the 2023-2024 work program, we have about $592,000 programmed in investments, including medium barrier rail on USA Parkway, milled centerline rumble strips, and repairs on the bridge over the VNT G-235. Next slide, please. So other things that we're looking at, we're doing a passing and climbing lane study throughout the state, and we're anticipating draft recommendations for where we want to invest there later in this year. And that's to really, we're trying to curb some of the trends that we've seen in people making unsafe passing movements leading to fatalities. And so that's really the focus of that passing and climbing lane study. Next slide, please. One of the things that we want to talk about are the local road safety plans, and it's something that we're working with local agencies to produce. The local road safety plans actually open up the local agencies for potential funding from the infrastructure bill. In Story County in 2020, we had 122 crashes, one fatality, and 36 injury crashes. So we're actively going out and working with other agencies. And again, some of the critical success factors for this is to have a plan champion, a clear vision and mission, and a collaborative partnership, and allocating resources to the planning process. And of course, which is what this is all about, is having an open communication. Next slide, please. I'll talk briefly here about the bipartisan infrastructure law. We did get some additional funding. The federal program increase equates to about 10 to 12% increase in our overall program. Unfortunately, we've seen about 17% increase in inflation. And so really right now we're delivering the projects that we'd hoped to be able to deliver with the same sort of funding levels that we had previously. One thing that should be mentioned, and I heard plenty of discussion about it earlier, is about 40% of the bipartisan infrastructure law is competitive grants. And so we've seen a few of those here get awarded recently. Notably, we partnered with the Washoe County RTC, and we got almost a $90 million infra grant for the widening of 395 north of Reno. They do emphasize safety, resilience, and equity with these grants. Next slide, please. Our next steps are going to be the implementation of the annual work program and continuing the collaboration between NDOT and county and city staff. And then, like I said, we'll continue the data-driven One Nevada process and essentially continue the collaboration process. Next slide, please. And I think previous slide. And that concludes the slides that I have here for you today. Any questions?
Commissioner Gilman, do you have any, thank you for that. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions?
I have no questions. A thought on our agenda item. I assume you're aware of the fact that our county has approached the legislature and we're looking for a bill to enhance and create a safety corridor along the I-80 corridor.
Yes.
And I submit that we have had a wonderful relationship with NDOT, and we certainly look forward to that continuing for years. It's our impression at this point that the I-80 corridor needs to be improved, expanded. It's carrying an inordinate amount of traffic, and that traffic is continuing to grow. And it takes years to get something like that on the board. I know you have to get your NEPA permits, and that could take 10 years. And so we're looking at that as a very dangerous corridor today. Some of us drive it every day. And so we have speed limits out there of 70 miles an hour, 65 miles an hour. Most of the trucks are exceeding that by 10 miles an hour. So we're seeing trucks running 80 miles an hour on a two-lane blacktop with heavy car traffic, a lot of construction traffic. And we're aware of the fact that, and unfortunately, the Nevada Highway Patrol just doesn't have the funding to patrol that area. And they have made that clear. They don't have the personnel and they don't have the payroll. So there's really no enforcement happening out there on that I-80 corridor. And so we see things like a lot of haul trucks that are not covering their loads. They're running rock and sand and everything else without covers. And that is, of course, blowing rock and sand onto the cars. The windows of the cars are trying to dodge that. On some of our automobiles, we've lost 3 windshields in just this year. Folks are following way too close. And again, the speed limits are 70 miles an hour, and most of the groups are exceeding those by 10 miles an hour. So we have interchanges out there that have very short merging lanes. And so when you have a truck barreling down on you at 80 miles an hour and you're trying to get on a short merge onto that freeway, it's very challenging and extremely dangerous. And it appears that there's a lot of road rage that goes on with it, because we watch the people trying to come and go from work, and they're playing dodge the truck, and they're slamming their car in between short spaces, if you will. And so it would be our goal as a county, and we certainly would look forward to your support, to doing something on the short term that will enhance the safety for all of us and that growing concern out there. And so I assume you're aware of that. I'm merely asking, please, that you all consider supporting us on that and allow us to create a safety corridor in the short term to protect lives and property and everything. And I know you'll continue to work on the construction projects and the widening of the freeways and the other lanes and everything goes along with that. But that will take years. And so we feel like we need to do something now. And I hope you'll join us in that. Yeah.
You know, I guess in response to that, of course, safety is always the number one priority for the department. Depending on, we would look forward to working with you in trying to come up with a solution, especially in the short term. You did identify that it is a difficulty for us to expedite a project of that magnitude. And so there are things that we can look into doing. I think that you hit on a very important point. It isn't necessarily that the Highway Patrol is underfunded. It's that they can't hire anybody. They're understaffed by more than 50% right now. And really, a lot of what you're speaking of is a behavioral issue. The trucks being parked, the speeding, the aggressive driving, road rage, those are all things that are driver behavior as well. So again, you know, we look forward to working with you, but as far as, you know, what, just saying a safety corridor without actually knowing what that is, it's difficult for me to commit to supporting it if it's...
I understand completely. And I also, I will circle back on the funding. Mm-hmm. We have been told by the leadership in Nevada Highway Patrol that they're underfunded. So I don't know where we go on where that stands. I have no idea where the budget is, but they've made us aware of the fact that they're short of folks, they can't hire folks, and they're short of budget to handle it.
That may be a discussion as far as the budget that's allowed by the state legislature for salaries, because the legislature controls the salaries. For example, for us right now, I think we're understaffed. We have more than 410 vacancies in some of our locations. We have less than half of the maintenance staff that we should. It's a difficulty. Last year we had the legislatively approved budget, but we only spent 2/3 of it for salary because we had so many vacancies. So, you know, back to where that budget is or what it looks like or how it gets approved. And I do know that the NHP is being discussed quite a bit as far as their salaries and what we can do to try to help increase those salaries to encourage hiring in those areas.
Well, for some reason, I agree with you. There seems to be a shortage of employees everywhere.
Yeah.
in every industry. And I'm not sure that's going to heal itself either. But and I understand that you're just looking at this for the first time, but it is going to come to the table. And we would hope that you would join us in supporting something along those lines as it moves forward. Safety being so important, and our communities out there are being dramatically impacted from a safety standpoint. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. Vice Chairman Mitchell.
I just have a couple of questions. Thank you, Mr. Morrison, for coming up. We appreciate the report on what's going on. First, I just want to give a huge thanks to the MDOT staff, particularly here on the Comstock. You know, they're proactive and responsive, especially with the winter weather. I mean, they're out, they're on it. That's much appreciated because we're a pretty isolated community, you know, and so that's huge. I noticed it appears that the annual work program roughly matches the gas tax revenues that are generated. Is that intentional? Is that just
that's not always the case. In fact, we were looking at Story County specifically, and in the span of 2021 to 2024, we're actually investing like $9.3 million in Story County. So you can see that's significantly more than the tax revenue generated here. One of the challenges that we face, and I mentioned it when I spoke about harmonization and our statewide balance, is that generally, I want to say it's like 65 to 67% of the gas tax revenue is generated in Clark County, and about 15% of the gas tax revenue is generated in Washoe County, and then the rest is generated statewide. But part of the problem we have is some of the communities or counties out there, for example, Lander County, they don't generate enough tax revenue to maintain I-80 through that stretch. So unfortunately, we end up having to pull from the larger counties that are generating that tax revenue to be able to provide projects in the smaller counties. So it's not always a apples to apples approach.
Got it. Is it a goal? Is it to roughly approximate if possible?
Not necessarily, because we have to look at a number of things. As I kind of mentioned, you know, the lane miles of I-80. There is an emphasis to focus on where the tax revenue is generated, but there's also the discussion on where the most population is. And for us, it's lane miles are important for us because that's what we're having to spend money on to maintain. So we look at it from several different ways as we look at it, but a lot of it really is kind of down to the One Nevada prioritization process and then making sure that we're not spending too much in one community over another, and recognizing that there are times where certain communities definitely have needs. I mean, we own Main Street Nevada in so many communities, you know, and so there are times where we have to invest more in smaller communities.
Great, thank you. You'll forgive my ignorance, I'm fairly new at this. With this process, is there a point where we're ever trying to get out of this loop, or does this continue to iterate continuously?
It continues to iterate, yeah. As we start delivering projects, we're looking at next year's work program, and next year we'll be looking at the following year's work program. So really it's meant to be a life cycle process so that we're continuing to be out in front of you guys on, you know, on an annual basis, not only in meetings like this, but the workshops where we're actually sitting down and talking to your staff.
Great, thank you. As far as the One Nevada process, is there a hierarchy or prioritization among these different focus areas, or are they all weighted fairly equally?
I would have to look at this, find the specifics, but I do believe that there are some that are weighted more heavily than others. For example, safety, I think, is weighted more heavily than some of the other criteria.
Okay, great. Thank you. And then we have a bit of a unique situation with the I-80 corridor because it heavily impacts the county, but it's not in the county.
Yeah.
Do you have any ideas or suggestions on how we can more effectively advocate for the needs that are there? Are we separated somewhat because it's not within the county? What are your thoughts?
It goes back to the One Nevada prioritization process. We actually did a huge study in Northern Nevada to try to determine where to best invest our funding. And at the end of the study, you know, we looked at 395 North, we've looked at I-80, we've looked at other routes that possibly we could improve. But at the end of the day, the one that came out to be the most important was the Spaghetti Bowl project. Because as you guys could imagine, as soon as we fix I-80, it's just going to go to the next bottleneck, which is just going to back up the traffic. So we're working on fixing the Spaghetti Bowl, and then we're looking at where we can fit I-80 into the prioritization following that.
Great, thank you. My last question just has to do with the items that are on the work program, and I'm just curious about how they were prioritized or if there were pressing needs for those. Just some medium barriers, some centerline rumble strips, both on 439, and then the V&T bridge repairs.
The median rumble strips and the barrier rail, those were safety issues for us. I believe the barrier rail was in locations where we saw a higher number of impacts on the cable barrier out there. And so not only was it a safety thing, but it's also a maintenance thing for us. The rumble strips are a proven safety measure for us. And then we have a bridge inventory that we have to inspect on every 2-year basis, I believe. And so we keep track of all the bridges that are publicly accessed. And so the V&T bridge just had some maintenance needs that we needed to take care of.
Perfect. So. I appreciate all that clarification. Thank you very much.
Thank you, my fellow commissioners. They've covered all my questions. Appreciate this morning's being here. And I see that you have quite a bit of staff here.
So yep.
Thank you.
All my support team.
Right. Anyway, based on your staffing shortages, probably half your office.
Pretty close.
Appreciate that.
We feel honored.
Right. All right. With that said, we're going to go to public comment. Is there any public comment today regarding the NDOT presentation or any questions for NDOT while they're here? Not seeing any public comment. I know we have several motions in front of us. Vice Chairman Mitchell, are you prepared to make a motion?
Could I just ask for some guidance from staff on what we should do here?
Sure.
With the multiple motions, I'm just trying to understand
right
what the situation is.
Mr. Chairman, yeah, I'll be happy to guide you through that. There's three motions on here. It was just a general presentation, but I know that this board has had some legislative action pending right now and had some discussion on this bill on dealing with the I-80 corridor safety. And so purposefully put together, and I'll read them to you, that allows this board to either accept as is or accept with some comments and suggestions or refute. The first one is I, County Commissioner, would motion to accept the NDOT presentation, infrastructure work program, and other elements as presented. Or your commissioner would accept the Nevada Department of Transportation's infrastructure work program and other elements with the following comments. And that would be the comments that you brought up. I do think that may be an appropriate motion because the three of you have made comments on this presentation dealing with the specific elements of Story County and the persistent discussions with NDOT that have occurred over time on these issues. Or you could motion to reject the presentation. If you were asking for a staff recommendation, I would recommend the B middle option, maybe just citing the conversations that you just had.
Thank you, County Manager.
Okay. And you think it's sufficient to just cite kind of in general the conversations that were had in the meeting, or are there specific items that you think we should include in those comments?
I think I'll leave that up to you on how you want to structure that, but I do think the record shows what your comments were, quite thorough. And if you just want to incorporate that discussion into your motion, say we accept the NDOT's presentation, but with the comments, once again, we would like on the record that the comments of this board regarding the issues that you brought up, Mr. Mitchell, you brought up, Mr. Gilman and Chairman, regarding Interstate 80 and the One Nevada process, et cetera, would be incorporated into that motion. Does that make sense? Without having to repeat everything that you said, of course.
Sure. Yeah. All right. So I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to accept the Nevada Department of Transportation NDOT infrastructure work program and or other elements to include the comments and discussion that happened in this meeting in relation to this report.
And Mr. Commissioners, there is attachments to this agenda item dealing with your resolution moving forward with the legislature, as well as the bill draft language. Would you like to just make mention that that is in existence as well?
Sure. Further, as part of this motion, I ask that we attach and by reference the bill draft request and resolution related to safety on the I-80 corridor.
I'll second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Again, thank you to the NDOT team for being here. Much appreciated. Moving on to item number 12. This is discussion only. Report of Public Works Department regarding roads and highways in Story County. I believe Mike Northern is going to handle this.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mike Northern, Operations Projects Coordinator, in for Director Wurzbicki. As I mentioned in the general staff report, there's ongoing work, Six Mile Canyon for shoulder improvements. The only other item was the Electric Avenue improvements. The engineering design work is currently underway for that project.
Wonderful. Thank you, Mike. There's no motion, no motion needed. But Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Mike on
No questions. Thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything to bring up?
No, thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
I don't have any questions either. Thank you again, Mike. All right. We're going to item number 13, which is to adjourn to reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners, bringing us to item number 14, which is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval authorizing the county manager to approve and sign an agreement with Sloan, Vasquez, McAfee for approximately $97,000 to assist in a county in developing and executing an RFP, public and community engagement, and negotiation and development of a successor franchise agreement for collection, transfer, processing, and disposal of municipal solid waste and recyclables in Story County. County Manager Osborne.
All right, thank you, Mr. Commissioners. Austin Osborne for the record. I also want to mention that Joe Sloan is also present with us from the company that we're talking about making a contract with. He came all the way up, I understand, from Los Angeles, so to be here with us. We're aware that the waste management franchise agreement for solid waste collection is gonna become at the end of its contract period in 2 years. Sounds like a long time, but it isn't. This board and the public has asked over the past that we go through a very open and competitive process for a successor agreement. This has nothing to do with whether we like the current franchisee or not. It's more just about the successor agreement. What would we like to see? And what I've heard from the public and businesses and other people, as well as this board, is to go public, to be very thorough and transparent, and allow the communities and the business folks to discuss what they would like to see in a franchise agreement, and then be able to go to a request for proposal for a successor franchisee, see what's out there, and then let this board and staff negotiate a contract. And then at that point, we would have a successor agreement with either waste management or another provider, who that might be. The Sloan Vasquez Group had worked with Carson City to do just that. They had the same conversation we're having right now when they did their franchise agreement for solid waste collection. And they had made it very clear, we really want to go over and beyond in this process. It's a very important contract for the county. And they had used this group that is very knowledgeable in just this sort of thing. And they were able to get the city to go miles deep in all of these processes. And they're so far at this point, they're satisfied with the decisions they made based on that process. So what we have here basically is a consultant to help staff, help this board, and assist us in going out to a request for bid, doing the contract negotiations, working with the public and business community, and also expanding our successor franchise agreement with whomever gets it to include recyclables, solid waste, working with the Lockwood community. There's a special engagement there because they're under their own franchise. And the issues dealing with C Street and post event cleanup, the transfer stations, all these little things that go on in our county, these folks know how to deal with those and be able to work with the public in that process. So once again, really what the request is here is $97,000 to do this process with these folks. And the process would include a critique of our existing franchise agreement, community workshops with the business and residential community, Board of County Commissioner workshops, develop a franchise draft, then go out to request for proposal, request proposals, and then negotiate a contract, and then go through the final elements. We believe that'll take about a year. And then Sloan has recommended that we provide another year for the new franchisee or even the existing franchisee if they win to a year to mobilize. There may have to be the purchase of new trucks, equipment, dumpsters, whatever it might be. And it takes some time for that. Once again, I'm happy to defer any questions over to the Sloan group as well. And that's all I have.
Thank you, County Manager Osborne. Before I ask my fellow commissioners, is there any questions? Is there anything you'd like to say, sir? Have you come to the podium and state your name for the record.
Thank you, commissioners. My name is Joe Sloan. I'm a founding principal of the firm Sloan Vasquez McAfee. We're a small firm that specializes in specifically this subject matter. Myself and both of my partners came to this practice from the private sector. We all worked and had responsibility for bottom line management of solid waste and recycling operations for companies that had municipal franchises. And so we understand very well operational aspects of all the services that need to be required. And we understand very well the costs of those. So it puts us in a good position to be able to advise you regarding proposals that you will certainly receive because there's a lot of interest, as I've spoken with Mr. Osborne, in this process. So I just came up today because, first of all, I have three grandkids that live just down the hill, so I have to be honest. I came up and was happy to do so. We did this same process a couple of years ago for the city of Carson City. We've done a lot of work for Washoe County. And then we also, and you may be aware of it, it's over in that problem area on the I-80 corridor, the company Fulcrum Bioenergy. They've built a big renewable energy plant where they're making jet fuel from garbage that normally would go into the Lockwood landfill. So we have a lot of experience in the area, and we were able to bring that to bear on this proposal and this process. And so just delighted to be here and happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Wonderful. Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions?
I do not have any questions. I appreciate the background report. We're very familiar with the successes you've had in the community. I'm very comfortable with this. Thank you.
Thank you. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
Yeah, I don't have any questions either.
All right. I can't help myself. I got a dad joke coming. It's a dirty job. I'm glad you're here to help us do it. But all jokes aside, I personally am very thankful we're taking this route. We've seen our neighboring county, Lyon County, go through some issues when they went out to bid. And I know that the garbage issue in Story County has been a little bit of a sensitive subject. So again, I am very happy that we are reaching out to some professionals to help us with this, because obviously it's a serious issue, and having the Lockwood, landfill in our backyard, obviously I think adds some complications to the issue. So again, I am very happy that we're taking this direction. So with that said, I'm going to go to public comment. Is there any public comment regarding this specific item before you leave? No problem. Not seeing any public comment. I'm going to reach back over to Vice Chairman Mitchell. With that said, would you care to entertain a motion then?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to authorize the county manager to approve and sign an agreement with Sloan Vasquez McAfee for approximately $97,000 to assist the county in developing and executing an RFP, public and community engagement program, and negotiation and development of a successor franchise agreement for the collection, transferring, processing, and disposal of municipal solid waste and recyclables in Story County.
I'll second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you again for making the trip up. We'll look forward to getting to work.
I'd just like to say, now that the business part's over, just having been here for a few minutes, I just want to say to you gentlemen that I haven't seen this level of positivity and collegial interaction between elected officials in a long time. And it's really appreciated, because the level of professionalism with which you guys are doing your business is really unusual these days. And so, you know, it's noticed. And I think anybody else who might come from outside would notice it as well. So
truly appreciate the comments.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Moving on to item number 15. An update, this discussion only. Update on progress of action items identified in the Story County Hazard Mitigation Plan as required by participation in the National Flood Insurance Program Community Rating System. Kathy Canfield.
Yes, good morning. Kathy Canfield for the record. So Story County belongs to the National Flood Insurance Program, or participates in that. And we are audited every year, making sure that we're following the regulations that they have for that program. One of them is that we provide an update to the community on the hazard mitigation plan that we have. I've reached out to all the different departments that have a project or a goal that's identified in the hazard mitigation plan, and we've updated the chart, and that's been provided to both you. It's on our website. We've made notice of that on our social media, that it's available on our website. And this meets a requirement that FEMA requires us to do, giving the community an update of this program. So there's no action needed. Public comment would be appreciated, but I can answer any questions too.
Thank you, Kathy. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Kathy about this?
Thanks, Kathy.
Vice Chairman Mitchell.
Kathy, can you just give us an idea of what kind of impact comes from this process? I mean, what are the real life applications of making sure that our strategy is updated and that we've properly gone through this?
Well, this isn't updating any of the goals or anything. It's just kind of giving an update of where we are in approaching those goals. As some of these have been met already, it's kind of several pages of things. Some of them have been met. Some of them are just an ongoing type thing. One of them is review and update ordinances and codes every 3 years. Well, we're doing that as it becomes applicable that we need to do that. But that's something that we're actively involved with. There's other things that have been identified, some of the earthquake items that right now they've been identified things to do, but staffing and funding are concerns. But as staffing and funding become available, we'll tackle those. So there's fire protection. So there's a whole bunch of different ones. And so this is just trying to give an update on each of the goals and what staff are doing, trying to address those different goals.
Great. Thank you. And then taking it kind of one step further, do you understand that this is a requirement of participating in the National Flood Insurance Program, the community rating system? What does that mean? I mean, if, for example, if we lost our compliance with that, what impact would that have?
That would mean that we would have, if we were not a participant in the National Flood Insurance Program, we would have, we could lose out on getting any emergency funding. We could not have insurance. People wouldn't be able to purchase insurance for flood issues. Not it makes grant funding harder because this showing that we're participant really kind of bumps us up. Those are probably the three major ones.
Thank you very much.
And can you think of some too, Austin?
I do mind, Chairman. Kathy, for Commissioner Mitchell, can you talk a little bit about that grant funding you're doing down in the Lockwood area? So a lot of that neighborhood is in the flood hazard area. What are you doing with, like, for example, the Truckee River flood management folks and possibly getting some planning in that area that might mitigate flooding? And how does that tie to this?
It's not necessarily tying to this program per se, but in the whole big picture, what Story County is trying to do is address flood impacts to our community. What we can do to help our citizens that are located in these mapped flood areas. FEMA has gone through and mapped areas where they think, based on their science, and some of these maps are older, based on their science at the time that they did it, these areas have a high probability in a certain situations that could flood. And by identifying these on maps, then they are telling people, okay, if you're on this area and you have any type of federally backed loan, you have to purchase flood insurance for these locations. So we've looked at that. We had our meeting in Lockwood maybe 6-9 months ago now, talking about the flood insurance, and flood insurance has been an issue just all over the country because of natural disaster type things. We've looked at that, and the county itself is trying to come up with some ideas of what we could potentially do to help alleviate some of those flooding issues and where some mapped is, because we have homes and a fire station and some other things that are located in these areas that have the potential for flooding. We recently were awarded a grant from through NDEP to do a planning study for the Long Valley Creek. And right now that we've sent out a request for qualifications for companies to come help us do some planning for what could we do to this area to help alleviate the flooding and what projects. And so the idea with the planning is to look at, is this mapping correct, or should we be doing some more engineering studies to show better mapping? And then if we do agree with what that mapping is, because some of that is from the 1980s type era, you know, there's better modeling situations and computer stuff out there now. And then the other option would be like, okay, if this is mapped and these residences are here or different areas, things that are associated with flooding, is there something we can do to mitigate some of this? And some of our brainstorming ideas have been, you know, can we slow water down? Is there ways to build some detention ponds further upstream so that the water doesn't come down as fast and then it won't spread as much? Is the outlet from Long Valley Creek into the Truckee River, does that let water flow out as fast as it, you know, we can make it? Is there a better, you know, is it at an angle, if it's at straight on, you know, is there a better way to engineer that so that it might lessen the backing up of flooding in the neighborhood? You know, is there ways to help some of those homeowners, because we've seen a couple of them that have come through and they have to raise up high. One of it was ridiculously high when you just look at the regular neighborhood. Can we do something that helps that? Can we build something up? Can we shift those somehow? You know, those are going to be the ideas of what we're looking at with the grant that we acquired. So that work will be starting here pretty soon. What this is doing, when we get audited every year by FEMA for this, we have to give this hazard mitigation plan report. I have to provide all the elevation certificates that we've done within the last year. I have to identify all the public outreach that we've done in the last year. We have to put things in the newspaper. They've got a whole checklist of items that we have to provide to them to say, yes, we've been active, we're doing this, we haven't ignored this. So this is just one box really to check off, and it's showing our hazard mitigation plan, what we're doing with it. There's a lot more items in here besides things that are associated with flooding, but this is just what the document that we have. So hopefully that answers, gives you a better rounded picture, I guess.
Thank you, Kathy, that does. Appreciate your questions, Vice Chairman Mitchell. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Nope. Not seeing any public comments. Again, thank you, Kathy, for the update. We're going to take a quick 5-minute recess. We'll be back in 5 minutes.